and loudly and proudly we read it. Do not let anyone look. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Timothy 4. You guys got them? By the way, we're going to do this a little bit more often, so bring your Bibles and underline them, and it'll be good, I promise. 1 Timothy 4. I'm going to check in my Bibles, make sure everybody's got it. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, Timothy, right before Titus. 1 Timothy 4. Everybody's here, so we'll read it loudly and proudly. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Have a seat. We're going to meditate and unpack that today. I'll be preaching to the confirmands next service. If you weren't raised Lutheran, confirmation is around eighth grade, where we give students a chance right as they're entering high school to stand up and to publicly affirm the faith that they were baptized into, to say publicly what they've believed privately for a long time. So this text was selected for them, and as we unpacked it, this verse just hit me. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. See, Timothy was a really young man, and Paul had asked him to oversee this church, but he was young. And so sometimes people looked down on him because he was young, but more often, as in the case with people, Timothy disqualified himself because he was young. Right? Timothy was given the authority by God to live this out. Timothy was discipled by Paul, the guy that wrote so much of the New Testament. But Timothy said, I'm too young. See, there's nothing new in Scripture about this self-disqualification. What did Moses say when he was wandering through the wilderness and he sees a bush burning but it's not being consumed, and a bush talks to him and says, I am God, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go? What's Moses' first response? I don't talk so good. How about you? What's your blank? Where have you disqualified yourself from what God's calling you to do? Where do you let others look down on you because you're blank? And I can't do the, God, I know you're putting this on my heart, right? We prayed it. We sang the song. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. God, we're desiring for you to talk to us and call us into ministry. But then when God does, well, I can't because I'm a woman. That's men's work. Well, I can't because I used to do this. See, if you knew my past, you'd disqualify me from ministry. Years ago, I used to do this thing. And I still, even though it's been a year or 3 years or 20 years, I still, when people say that word, it brings up all these insecurities. And I let people look down on me because I'm a, what's your blank? Young, angry, addict, divorcee, broken, bruised, battered. Well, I can't because my body is just getting so weak. I don't know. Are you with me? Do I need to give some more examples, or can you find your own in this? Right? Don't let anybody, I love the fact that he said, don't let anyone, because included in that anyone is you. Don't let anyone, read Henry, look down on you for being blank. Can we just confess that to God right now, whatever your blank is? Can we just admit it in this moment of silence? God, I have disqualified myself from ministry because I'm blank. Let me frame it a little bit differently. The new members, they just went through the new member class with me, and you saw this, right? The blank, how often do we let that blank become our identity? I can't because I'm blank. But see, what we know is that our Heavenly Father gives us, this is covenant theology, gives us our identity. And our identity is child. Our identity is that you are the beloved child of God, not because you worked hard enough for it, not because you've overcome that obstacle, not because you're older now. See, for Timothy, that's what it was, right? Timothy walked around and he said, God, when I'm older, I'll do that work. Anybody like that when you were younger? You wished you were older? Yeah? How about now? Anybody that's older now and you wish you were younger? It's amazing how we can flip that. It's like, when I was younger, I was like, when I'm smarter and when I'm older, then I can do this thing. And now that I'm getting a little bit older, I'm like, man, if I had the energy of a 22-year-old, I could do things. Confess those and realize that the only identity that matters is that you're a beloved child of the King, that the Father gives you your identity. That's what the Great Commission that the kids are learning all about is. He says, go therefore and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Disciples, your job is to share your name with people because your name is the divine name. So he says to Timothy, as he's starting this new chapter in his life, he says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but here's what you're supposed to do. Set an example for the believers. I love how we like to flip this one, right? My job isn't to set an example for the believers, it's to set an example for those pagans out there, not those pagans in here. It's to set an example for those people who struggle with that thing that's different than me, not the people in here who struggle with the same things that I do. See, what this is, if you want to frame it theologically, is that the Father gives us our identity and we live that identity out in obedience. Never flip-flop these. When you mess up, you don't lose your identity. When you look down on yourself for being blank, you don't lose your identity as child. You're just not living that identity out in obedience. And that's why we pause and we admit those things to God so that we can hear again that it's because of Christ that you have your identity in Him, and that all of your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. Here's what He told him to do. He said, don't let anybody look down on you because you're blank, but set an example. And then he gives the things that he knows Timothy. He's built, if you remember several weeks ago, we talked about these different spaces. See, Paul didn't build public space stuff with Timothy. No, he walked with Timothy. He traveled with Timothy. He knew him intimately. He had seen what God was doing in him. And so he called him to live that out in obedience so God could do it through him. And he said, here's the example that you need to set. Brother, do it in speech. He looked at Timothy and he affirmed that gift that he saw in Timothy. He said, when you speak, you make sense. How often do we just need to start doing that as Christians? In that intimate space, with your partner, your husband, your wife, with your kid, to look at them and affirm that gift that you see in them. It may not be speech. It may be, man, I know that you look down on yourself because you have this short temper. Don't look down on yourself for that. God's forgiven you of that. You can be released from that. but set an example in the way you love just as passionately. You serve just as passionately. For Timothy, it was set that example in speech, in conduct, how you hold yourself. Man, in love. That, by the way, is agape. Hopefully, if you've been hanging out for us a little bit, you know what that is. See, when he said, set an example in agape, he's saying by being patient and by being kind and all those things we talked about in Lent. Set an example and in faith, in the way you trust God, in the way you trust that God's going to deliver on those things that God's promised. And then he looks at Timothy and he says, and in purity. So that's Timothy's story. But see, what Scripture tells us is that all Scripture is good, that it shapes us and that it molds us. So where do you find yourself in that story? What's your blank? And what's that thing that God's calling you into? See, one of the things that we got to start doing as a people, I'm more convinced with this. Several people asked, are you preaching on Israel this morning? Nope. I won't be preaching on Israel until Lent. Why? Because what I'm convinced is that I got to go to my chair. I got to go to my chair and I got to let God do things in me before I let God do things through me. So we live in this Instagram public world where I instantly post the pictures, but I haven't paused and sat in my chair and said, God, when I stood on that Mount of Olives and prayed where you prayed, I felt nothing. See, I was supposed to, because everybody told me that when you pray where Jesus prayed, it changes your life forever. And if I sat on Mount of Olives, I was like, huh. So I want to sit down and I want to wrestle with God and I'm going to go, God, am I disqualified because of that? Am I disqualified because I didn't feel the same thing that these other people felt? That's a huge blank for a lot of people. Am I disqualified because I don't raise my hands up in worship? Or am I disqualified because I do? What's it look like to go to your chair and to pour your heart out to Jesus and say, Jesus, what are you saying to me? And I guarantee as we do that, we hear him say, no, no, that's not the point. Your past isn't the point. Your age isn't the point. Your gender isn't the point. Your brokenness isn't the point. The point is that you're my kid. And in that still small whisper, he whispers to you, and I'm calling you into this. To set an example for us, for me, for you, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. If there's one thing that I'm learning as I deal with this prayer series, it's that we need a chair and we need to sit and spend that time with God and listen to what he's calling us to do. And when we do that, it's a game changer. And so I don't know any way to do it but to start carving some time out here. So I encourage you to just sit for 2 minutes and pour your heart out to Jesus. Say, hey, here's my blank. And Jesus, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm really forgiven for that. I'm not sure if that ball and chain aren't really still attached to my ankle. See, how many of us, we hear it week after week after week, that because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. But then we grab that ball and that chain and we know it's been loosed from our ankle, but we pick it up and we drag it around with it like it's our kid teddy bear. Just in a moment of silence, what's it look like to admit that to Jesus? And if you're struggling, if you're not quite sure what God's voice is saying, let me tell you. Because this is what it echoes throughout Scripture, is that when we confess those things to God, God's faithful and just, and He forgives us. That word forgive is to send away. That blank that you filled in as your disqualifier, God has redeemed. And you are forgiven of that. And of everything, not because you confessed it, but because of what Christ did on the cross. And so sitting in that wholeness, and by the way, if you're really wrestling with that, grab me after church. I'd love to talk to you about it some more. If you want to ask the question, because honestly, sometimes we got to say, hold on, but you don't know what I did. You don't know how broken I am. Talk to somebody. And if you don't have somebody to talk to, that's what I'm here for. But as we prepare to come to this table and to receive this gift, we also want to stop and go, hey, as your kid, God, what's that challenge you're putting before me? What's that thing you're calling me to do? To create that space and to listen. See, Paul told Timothy, I'm calling you to set an example in faith, in speech, in love, in purity, and in conduct. What's that thing God's calling you to do today?